This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Morning, everybody, and welcome to In Focus. Good to have you with us. I'm Roger Gray, and we're going to talk today about an organization called Starbright, and we'll explain what that's all about. Let me welcome to the program Lauren Buford, Chief Executive Officer. Welcome. Good to have you here. And April Scarborough, who's Development Director. Hi.
Hi.
Good to have you guys with us.
Great to be here.
Let's talk a little bit about the Starbright Writing Center, Therapeutic Writing Center. First of all, what is this all about? Therapeutic writing.
So therapeutic writing, who we serve is kiddos, adults with disabilities, veterans, and their families. And therapeutic writing in itself, well, that's a whole different answer.
Yeah.
That can be anything from helping someone with physical challenges like balance and core issues, just some mobility. But It can go so much deeper than that. And then it can help with healing the soul. And so it's just a range. The horses do most of the work, and the instructors are the facilitators for both.
We're talking horseback riding here. So how did we hit on this idea? I have to be honest. It sounds a little like the old Robert Redford movie, the Horse Whisperer.
Yeah, sure.
That's probably not the first time you've heard that, but is it along those lines?
More than you would think, and maybe less than you would think,
Okay. Really.
So Starbright is the continuation of a program that had been in Tyler for 15 or 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
When that facility shut down, a group of the volunteers and the rider families saw the need and realized that this community still needed that facility.
Mm-hmm.
So on they went, and a few years later, Starbright was born. We kind of evolved from... we have some of the same horses and some of the same volunteers that have now become team members, staff members. And it's just grown. We opened our doors in February of 2020, right before the whole fun.
everything shut down.
Everything shut down. But luckily, we were an outdoor activity.
Good timing, yeah.
Yeah. So we weren't closed down for long, and we've just been building and growing ever since.
But nobody there who looks like Redford,
no,
apparently.
Unfortunately, no.
Just double checking.
Sure.
You said, what was the program that preceded this?
Spirit of St. Louis.
Spirit of St. Louis, okay. The Lindbergh plane. Now, what was that? And what made everybody decide, hey, wait, there's an idea here?
So there was a woman, her name was Rebecca, that ran that program. And
okay.
She was kind of a pioneer in the industry.
Okay.
And she did it just absolutely from the love of individuals with disabilities and a love of horses, and knew that putting them together would be magic, and
okay.
It is. And I don't know the actual circumstances. Maybe it was health decline or whatever that
okay.
led to the closing of that facility. But the people that were riding there had come to rely on it. And now that we're 5 years into Starbright, we see why that's so necessary. We see why those people do rely on it. It's we have physical therapists that come to us and tell us that the people that they serve that ride with us, they regress during our off period. And they just come to rely on that mobility strength building that happens on the back of a horse. And without it, they decline. So the people, the pioneers of Starbright, saw the need and absolutely filled the need.
What is it about this that works for people? Have you guys figured it out yet?
So one of our board members, Fred Smith, calls it medical art.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of people with these disabilities, they already see a physical therapist and an occupational therapist, and they see all these specialists and doctors. And this is a way for them to get all of those things, but to get it in outside and get to be normal and ride to their ability. And I think that's where we kind of get things messed up. And so why it works is because they're striving towards the best they can be and as far as they can push their body, their mind, their soul, and spirit,
right,
instead of putting labels on them and keeping them from growing.
I'm guessing you get particularly young people, a lot of young people who maybe never ridden a horse, thought about riding a horse, never been outside of the city and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Is it a real, I guess, revelation for them?
Especially the veterans. We have a rider who didn't even want to pet one because he was worried they would bite him. And now he's in the mounted color guard at the East Texas Fair, holding the American flag on a horse. So, there's something about animals, in particular horses. So horses have a keen sense of the ability to read who you are and communicate back immediate feedback of what's going on with you, physically or emotionally, or whatever you're hiding. So that's why horses. Yes, there's a ton of people who've had no experience with a horse. Mm-hmm. Most of our volunteers, we have 150, have not been around horses. Or if they have,
really?
It's been years and years since they were kids.
They volunteer for this?
They volunteer, and we give them courses, we teach them, and they fall in love with it. It's East Texas, it's Jesus, which is the most important part of what we do, horses, veterans, and kids. You really can't go wrong.
That's a combo that's pretty hard to beat.
That's the secret sauce.
Right there. You're right, though. I learned to ride from my aunt, who was a barrel racer, but my wife says yes.
We're both are.
Were you a barrel racer?
Yes, sir.
But my wife claims horses can tell when you're scared.
Absolutely.
Because they know she's scared to death. So
they can tell when you're scared. They can tell when you're sad. They can tell when your anxiety is high, and they give you immediate feedback. They can not just tell, but if you allow them, they can help bring it down. If you allow the horse to work with you and not against you, they can take your anxiety from a 10 to a 2 in 5 minutes. It's watching there's no real way to articulate it. It has to be seen. But watching it.
But try, it's radio.
We can't
show them,
But it really is, you know, we have, I think of one veteran in particular, we adore this man, he's become a friend, but he showed up one day and he had his horse in the cross ties, grooming, getting ready, and the mare, this horse would not stand still, she was dancing away from him and kind of moving around and rooting on the ties, and he's like, I don't know what's going on, and we're very open and honest and very organic, friendly relationships. And we just said, do you think maybe you're the problem? And he was like, probably. And we said, why don't you go hug your horse for a minute, take a deep breath, watch her breathe. You breathe with her, bring your heart rate down and try it again. A couple minutes later, off to the races they were, and the horse was standing there with her head dropped and her lip droopy. You know, they just... They're an instant feedback mirror for whatever's going on inside of us. And if we let them and we believe them, they can tell us and change us pretty quickly.
And instead of a human telling you, and people get tired of that a lot, it's an animal. And you can't really argue with it because you see that same animal with the next person and they're totally different. And it's not because of their knowledge of how to deal with that horse or handle it. It's based on what's going on inside. And it works.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, because you mentioned the veteran. You have a program called Horses for Heroes.
We do.
Now, how did this come about?
It's always been part of the mission.
Yeah.
And about 2.5 years ago, I came to Starbright to get a certified therapeutic riding instructor to get that certification. Mm-hmm. And I met Lauren, and I was talking to her about the veteran program. And I said, well, why don't you ask veterans what they want out of a veteran program? And she goes, that's a great idea. She goes, how about I just hire you and you run the whole thing? And I was newly retired.
You know how to delegate.
Yeah.
I can tell.
I said, I was newly retired from the Marine Corps after 24 years and looking for my next purpose.
Well, you were probably the right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you need a veteran to run a veteran program. That connection is immediate and the conversations are immediate. And we just prayed a lot and started working towards it. And it's also for first responders, although they're a lot harder to get them to participate.
Really?
Yeah, because they're still in it. They're still in the mix of it. So okay. The veterans have gotten out of the military, and now they're focused and they're dealing with whatever they didn't want to deal with before. But the first responders are still, that's their daily grind. Mm-hmm. And so they don't want to take that time out because they're scared it might all fall apart at once.
Yeah.
So we drag them most of the time to get there.
Well, and there's so many professions. I had the great opportunity back in the 90s to do a lot of reporting overseas. One of them was the Gulf War. And I met reporters who had been war correspondents for years and years and years and said, this is my last. I can't do anymore. You know, it's too hard. What I see is too hard. What I have to report is too hard. And obviously, for the vets, you take that up tenfold.
Yep. Know? Well, East Texas is the second largest population of veterans in the state. Mm-hmm. And we're getting better. We're trying to catch up because they're moving here so quick to have the resources for them. The ones that are riding right now, the majority of them, but not all of them, but they're combat veterans, or they've been overseas, or they've had military sexual trauma. Mm-hmm. They're looking for something to help them ground again.
Yeah.
And the spiritual aspect is probably, well, it's not probably, it is the most important part. So a soul wound requires a soul healer.
Okay.
And the horses are the conduit between the two.
The intermediary.
They are. And we just get out of the way.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know.
We try to. Yeah. We try to make sure that we let things happen organically.
Well, I was going to say, the spiritual element of all of this, mm-hmm. how is that woven in? Or is it something you consciously do, or is it just a part of the spirit of the place?
I'd say both.
Okay.
We've been a ministry of sorts from the get-go, mm-hmm. and about 3 years ago, we sat down, we were 2 years in, and there was always a Christ-centered piece of the organization, but we sat down as a board and a staff, and we said, what are our core values? What is our mission? Let's rewrite our mission to talk about the ministry that we actually are. Mm-hmm. And when we made that decision and we, you know, we hung our flag out and said, this is who we are.
Okay.
Then we had to be it, right? We had to show up every day and be those humans.
Right.
And luckily, and not just luckily, we believe through lots of prayer, right? Mm-hmm. That the right people have been placed in our path at the right times. And I say this all the time. I hear my father's words, figure out what needs done. Mm-hmm. Learn it enough to be able to hire competently, mm-hmm. hire the right person, and then get out of their way.
Yeah.
And we've done that in a way that we don't just look for someone's skill. We make sure they're a culture fit. We make sure we're a team of, I say 12 women. We now have a male that is on staff, which is weird for us.
A lonely guy.
I know.
On staff.
He's such a good guy.
He is a good dude. But we've taken this core group of humans and we've hired for a culture fit. Like, we're a family. Mm-hmm. We always joke that we jump you in and we jump you out, right?
Yeah.
But like, these people, these women, and now these men would ride off a cliff for this organization because they believe in it so wholeheartedly.
Okay.
And I believe that's because when we said who we are, we showed up as who we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the people that, not just our staff, not just our volunteers, but the people that come through our gates seeking out whatever our facility has to offer.
Mm-hmm.
April did a tour today, and the person had never been there before. It was like, the peace here is incredible. Yeah. Man, that's on purpose, right? Like, that's on purpose.
And we're not an in-your-face ministry by any stretch.
Right.
It's we just show up and let the light shine and
not going to beat you over the head with it.
No, no.
I mean, if we did, do you think the population we serve would show up and feel comfortable? Right? Like, we want people to show up and feel comfortable. We want you, that authenticity and that ability to be organic and let it happen that way is why this ministry, mm-hmm. for lack of a better word, even ministry, is so successful.
And the caretakers for the therapeutic riding side of what we do, mm-hmm. they need that respite hour they need that right. time and peace to just be able to walk around the property, have a few minutes where they are not having to care for someone. It's important.
Let's if I'm a vet and I'm dealing with a bunch of stuff, okay? Yep. You know, saw too much, went through too much. Number one, how do they hear about you? And number two, walk me through how it works. You know, a veteran says, hey, I heard you guys, you know, help folks in my condition, in my situation.
Happens all the time, happened right before we came. So yeah. I invite them out immediately.
Okay.
That's how veterans work. They don't want to be,
it's
you
more
know,
fun than
off.
Talking to a shrink. I mean, let's
oh,
be
yeah.
honest.
Oh, yeah. Know? I invite them out immediately. I give them a tour. There is a wait list. They go on the wait list, but a lot of them will come start volunteering prior to coming off the wait list so they can see how things work. And, you know, veterans are just real keen and they want to know what they're walking into and they're very observant. So that they would fill
That's
out.
Part of the training.
It yes. is. It
know
is.
What, try to know what you're walking into.
Yes. So they just fill out the there's one form. It's a one pager. They go on the wait list. And when they're ready, then we there is a, more forms, of course. That's how that works in life. But they're and that's what their goals are. And so they sign up and then they would ride 13 weeks in the spring, 6 weeks in the summer, 13 weeks in the fall, as long as they wanted or needed to. And so it's once a week. They have a designated day and time. They show up. Right now I'm doing group lessons. So there's veterans who've been riding for a year or two and they have the skills and they ride together. And that's been really cool to watch because then the camaraderie comes in and they just show up. They, veterans are there all the time. They're in a stall with their horse, or they're helping with the therapeutic side of riding, so they're giving back. They're service people. That's who they are. So then they start to heal on the other side of things.
Wait, is it a trail ride? Is it what is it?
Depends on what they need and their goals. So some of them prefer the trail rides. Some are looking to enhance their former horsemanship from maybe when they were a kid. Some are learning to ride dressage. Some are wanting to eventually do roping or barrel racing.
Really?
Or, then
you
we
get
have
into all of that.
All that. And then we have the mounted color guard. And so that's where we're at right now. We've had enough riders for the last 2 years to start a mounted color guard for East Texas to go out to the parades or fairs and things like that. It's just competition. Veterans, that's the easiest way. And then the families. A lot of them ride with their family, their spouse, their kids. They're reconnecting. They've been deployed three times or they've been in for 20 years and gone all the time. And they've moved to East Texas. They're retired here or they're separating from the military and they're wanting that reconnection. So we play games, the kids. So you'll have a four-year-old kid and mom and dad riding at the same time. And so they're all learning together. It's something for them to talk about when they go home, that kind of thing.
And I suppose to some extent they have to come out of their shell in some cases.
So we start them with groundwork. So, you know, you may have a 1,500-pound Percheron draft horse, ginormous horse. So we start in a round pen.
I actually know what that is.
There you go. And so they start on the ground in the middle of that round pen, learning that they can control that horse with their body movement, with their breath, with their energy, with their eyeballs. And once they learn that, a lot of the fear of that goes away, and then they start to get into. So we work them through that and up to that.
I have, if I can digress to a personal thing, my sister just lost her husband. He was a Vietnam vet. He told her forever that he was, you know, I was a gate guard in Da Nang. I didn't do anything, you know, particularly special. She didn't find out until after he died from a friend that he was in the bush, in the thick of it, getting shot at. She had no idea. She assumed he had a pretty, for Vietnam, a pretty easy deployment.
Right.
He kept it all from her all these years later.
A lot of them do.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of widows. We went a lot, but we have some widows that ride with us. And we have specifically Vietnam people, veterans that have come in and they're finding their spot. Some of them just volunteer. And I say just, I don't mean that, but they're not in the riding program.
Yeah.
But it's become their sanctuary. It's become their peaceful place, and they're learning to talk about it. We had a guy that brought his entire, all these pictures of his time when he was in Vietnam. This man got blown up there.
You've become their VFW hall.
Correct.
So
it's just a different, it's just a different one. It's outside and.
Well, and that's our, that's goal, right? That community, that, that camaraderie, it's, it wasn't the goal in the beginning.
Right.
As a civilian, I had no idea that's what we were going to be providing.
Right.
But as it's grown, and again, we just get out of the way, right, mm-hmm. and let it grow the way it's supposed to. As it's grown, you'll see, like, April's husband will be there, who mm-hmm. is also a Marine veteran, did 20 years. Mm-hmm. And he'll be unloading hay or something, and one of the other guys that's in the program will walk up, and they'll start talking, and they'll immediately know what the other person did or didn't do or whatever. And you know, just to back away slowly, right? Like, to let them find those people, because when you're in the thick of it, those are your brothers and sisters, right? They understand mm-hmm. you. There's no judgment. There's no question. Mm-hmm. Everybody saw the same thing, did the same thing.
Yeah.
So to come out into civilian life and to walk up and see random Lauren trying to understand your problems, it mm-hmm. doesn't work, right? So seeing these humans that have given, that literally sacrificed either pieces of their life or 25 years of their life mm-hmm. For the service of the country. And then they see other people that have the same heart and did the same thing. And they can have that, just even if it's minute, the minuscule 1 second of connection, it might alleviate one increment mm-hmm. of what lives inside of you.
Because they also sacrificed a lot of their peace of mind.
Absolutely.
They sacrificed a lot of their calm and coping skills.
And like your sister's husband that never told her, had he had that safe outlet of people that had seen the same things as mm-hmm. him, how much internal turmoil could have been alleviated, right?
Yeah.
That's as you know, the fearless leader or whatever.
Yeah.
That's my goal, is to, for Starbright's veteran program, is to, for them to have that safe space. And safe, you know, think what you will about the safe space term, for them to have that space to understand and be understood. Mm-hmm. And then we get out of the way and let it happen.
Yeah.
That's the goal. That's the goal of the veterans program beyond anything else.
Can you think of a case? I mean, obviously no names, but can you think of a case that maybe you're proudest of, somebody who came the farthest from when they first arrived?
I know who I'd pick.
We had a gentleman. He was very angry at God, the whole world, had deployed many times, was using alcohol to cope, mm-hmm. and just started coming, and had a really hard time at first when he came, just connecting with his horse. And actually, he was one of the stories we were telling earlier about the horse that wouldn't be still. And about a year ago, he sent us flowers and told us thank you for saving his life, because he was very suicidal. And we knew that, but we would just show up. And it wasn't just at Starbright. Like, if he needed to call me, he called. And if he was somewhere and we needed to be picked up, we'd go get him from his house when he didn't have a car. When you're dealing with veterans, you better be ready to be all in, because mm-hmm. it's not for the faint of heart. But to watch him, he currently is at a job and just thriving. He's thriving. And he still rides when he's back in town, because mm-hmm. his job's out of town.
About, I don't know, it was midsummer, he texts April's husband and says, I want to get baptized.
Oh.
And literally, what, like 3 hours later, they were in the water at my lake house. On the back pier, like off the pier. And that's...
Well, that works, yeah.
You know, and I just think about, like, the anger that this precious soul had living inside of him to who he is today. Did we do it? No. Did God do it? We think so. But is it just my favorite thing in the world to have watched it?
Yeah.
That is one of my biggest gratitude prayers, is that God did it in front of me. Like, that, so that I could see it. Because he's the coolest person alive. And if you don't take a minute to know, then you would never know.
Wow. And had he ever ridden before, by the way?
He had. had, and he had started at a program down in Austin, and so he was looking for a program like ours mm-hmm. when he got into this area. And so he's been there since the beginning of it. But it took a long time. I mean, it wasn't like an overnight, oh, yay, he got on a horse once, yeah. and it's all beautiful. It was it was a 2-year trust process. Mm-hmm. For the horse, for him, mm-hmm. he and that horse still fight. and for to trust us, you know, that we were who we said we were. We are going to come pick you up and bring you to your lesson mm-hmm. when you don't have a car. We're not going to judge you for wherever you're at and why you're there. And we're just going to love on you. And
all right, you're a therapeutic riding instructor.
I am.
Therapist. What is your role in a situation like his? Other than here's the horse.
Yes. So when a veteran comes and they tell me what their goals are, my job is to figure out how to facilitate that. So it could be if they have traumatic brain injury, it could be working on sequencing. So maybe when they're going to saddle the horse, we have a very repetition way of doing that. If it's balance, you know, maybe it's when they get up in there working without stirrups so they mm-hmm. can work on their balance. And then if it's more the PT, almost all of them have the PTSD side with it as mm-hmm. well. Some don't, but most do. It's 24 years of dealing with veterans and just having a relationship with them.
Yeah.
And so I am not their therapist. I'm definitely not a licensed therapist. I let the horse be the therapist.
Yeah.
And I let the aha and light bulb moments come from teaching them how the horse is reacting to them right. and them coming to that solution with their
I'm guessing some of that also applies to children with problems.
Absolutely.
Particularly physical problems.
Absolutely.
Tell me about some of those situations you have.
Sure. We have several different instructors, mm-hmm. and each instructor has what I consider their lane, like their jam.
Their mm-hmm. gift.
Their gift. Some handle or work with people that have different physical disabilities.
Right.
Some of them like the cognitive or the behavioral or whatever. And that may sound like callous terms, but
no,
it's what it is. But like if someone comes to us in a wheelchair and that is how they spend most of their time.
Right.
The way a horse moves mm-hmm. mimics very closely the way our hips hinge.
Okay.
So the instructor can take someone that spends a lot of time in a wheelchair.
Sort of rolling side to side.
Right.
Yeah.
And they can design, they choose the horse accordingly because different horses give different types of input.
Mm-hmm.
They can choose the horse that best suits that rider. And they can work through some of those physical challenges if they're working on core strength or if they need, our intestines work differently when we spend time sitting down all the time, right?
Oh, yeah.
So if they can pick the horse and then design a lesson plan where they're reaching and moving and getting things off the fence or steering different ways to enhance that core strength and mm-hmm. then actually get the hip hinge that mimics walking.
Okay.
So you get different muscles and tendons and ligaments that would never get moved because you spend a lot of time in a wheelchair. That are being worked properly mm-hmm. in the same fashion as walking because you're on a horse.
Wow.
It's
so
cool.
Therapeutic riding is not a pony ride. Yeah. This is not, and a lot of people, I think when they see a picture, they'll see someone that maybe has Down syndrome and they'll see them on mm-hmm. a horse and they're like, oh, that's so cool. You know, they're getting to ride a horse. And it's like, no, man, you have no idea what's happening behind the scenes.
First of all, have you ever met a person with Down syndrome? They're the coolest humans on the planet.
Yeah.
It's not all anything.
And they bring joy to everyone in their, that they even meet as a stranger. But it's the instructor's job. It takes about a year and a half to become a certified mm-hmm. therapeutic riding instructor. Mm-hmm. And the horses take anywhere from 3 months to a year to become wow. certified to do their jobs as well. So they're thinking through, like, what their disability is. Are there any contraindications mm-hmm. for putting this person on a horse? So there's a lot of, I go back to what our board member Fred says, it's medical art. It's putting all those things together and picking the right volunteers. It's picking the right horse and adaptive equipment.
How do they find you?
Starbrighttyler.org is our website.
Facebook.
We're on Facebook. Please go find us on TikTok.
Starbrite, as in one word.
Yes. Yeah. StarbriteTyler.org. And our TikTok is Starbrite Tyler, and it is amazing, by the way. Yeah. Our social media girls.
You can call us, you can email us, you can go online. There's forms online you can fill out to get started in the program as a volunteer, as a writer. That's how you find us.
That'll work. That'll work. Ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Enjoyed it much.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and The Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.